Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Hey, how are things going in your house? If you were to rate your home life, would you say it's terrible or tolerable or terrific? You know, no matter how successful you might be in the business world and the professional world, if your home life is suffering, your whole life is suffering. If your marriage and family is more terrible than tolerable or terrific, well, then you're in trouble. Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And I am joined in the studio today by my sweet and wonderful wife, Debbie, as we talk about the subject of marriage and family and the role of the Holy Spirit in your home. Now, Debbie, we've talked about this a lot. We've been married for 36 years. And that is 36, right?
It is. I looked it up the other day. Yeah.
Okay, 36 years. And so we've had, as any couple has had, we've had our ups and downs in marriage. But we both know, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Hey, God is saying all throughout His Word, but very specifically in Psalm 127:1, you can't do this on your own. You can't build a terrific marriage and family without the Lord because it's just too hard. You put two sinners together under one roof as husband and wife, and there's going to be conflict. And if you don't have the Lord that is guiding you and energizing you, you're just not going to be able to have the marriage He wants you to have.
Well, I mean, if you think all the way back in the garden, I mean, everything was perfect, right? And they still had trouble. And so it's so important that we focus our marriages and our homes on the Lord. That's the only foundation that is going to stand the test of time. It's the only foundation that is going to provide stability as the storms of life hit you. And it's just imperative that we do that. I think the problem that so many of us have is A, consistently doing that, and B, knowing how to go about doing that, how to make sure that your house is built on the Lord and that you continually walk that out, because none of us are going to do that 100% correctly because we're sinners. But for that to be the driving force of our life and for us to be intentional about that.
Well, it's interesting. You're talking about Adam and Eve. So one of the direct results of the fall, as God says, you know, He comes down in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve had eaten of the fruit. They knew that they were naked, and so they hide from God. When God would come down in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve would run to God. That's the, you know, you're reading between the lines. That's what it used to be like. But then they're hiding from God, and God says, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "Well, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And the Lord said, "Well, who told you you were naked? You've been naked your whole life. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit that I commanded you not to eat?" And then, as we know the story, Adam said, "Well, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." And God says to Eve, "What is this you have done?" "Well, the serpent deceived me, and I ate." And so the Lord pronounces a curse on the serpent, and then He says to the woman, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Now, some have tried to say, well, that the result of the fall of man is that Eve would desire Adam. But that would be a good thing, not a bad thing. So the desire is a desire for control. It's the same word that's used in Genesis 4, where the Lord says to Cain, "Behold, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, not to serve you." It's not a good thing. It's a bad thing. Its desire is to control you. And so, Debbie, we were talking just yesterday as we were talking about this program. The desire that a woman has to control her husband, that's a real thing.
And oh, absolutely. I think most women, if they were honest, would be able to admit that they have an advanced degree from Control University, right? I mean, it's just innate within us to desire control for most of us. Now, that's not across the board 100%, but for the bulk of women, we have a tendency to want to control. And part of it is that God has given us dominion to some extent over the raising of our children, and the home is our castle, so to speak. And so we want everything in there to be in order and those kind of things. But what's interesting is as that story progresses in Genesis 3, God also tells Adam, hey, you're going to be cursed as well. The ground is going to be cursed, and you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle too. And I think the antithesis of the woman wanting control is that the men, as a result of the curse, have a real tendency towards passivity.
Mm-hmm.
And that just is the perfect scenario for disaster.
Perfect storm.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody at the core deals with selfishness. So the most passive person still deals with selfishness. So if I'm a man who's just passive, okay, well, you do it all, you control it all. That's not biblical, because the man is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And so a man is to be the leader of his home. I always tell this to churches, especially those looking for a pastor. I said, listen, the number one thing you need to look at, according to 1 Timothy 3, is look at the guy's home. How does he run his household? Because if a man doesn't run his household well, then don't put him in charge of the house of God.
Right.
And so that's a good indicator. You know, if you look at, he talked to the man and his wife, and all of a sudden you can tell very quickly, hey, the woman wears the pants in the family here. This isn't healthy. This isn't normal. This isn't what God wants it to be. But still, even for that passive man, he still deals with selfishness.
Sure.
And selfishness says, I want what I want when I want it. And so that's a battle. We talked last week on the program. We talked about the battle within, the battle with the flesh. And people say, you know, what is the flesh exactly? It's that old residual Adamic nature. And flesh is just really, if you spell it backwards and take the H off, flesh is S-E-L-F. It's self. And God hates anything that we do in the flesh, anything that's done with self. And so in marriage, you have two people who at the core, if they're not yielded to the Lord, they are selfish people. They want what they want when they want it. And the wife has a tendency toward control. The husband has a tendency toward passivity. And it's not passivity as it relates to outside the home. It's typically passivity that relates to inside the home.
Yeah, I see this so much in our culture today, that so many men have just abdicated their role in the home. And we see the repercussions of that, because that leads to tremendous dysfunction within the home. And it doesn't just stop in the home. It feeds into the lives of the children that are in the home, because that's what's been modeled in front of them. And so it seems to just be perpetuating, right, as the generations go on. And it's so important that men step up and do those things that God has required of them and asked of them and told them is their role to do. And women, we may think we want control, but we do not thrive when we are the ones that are in control. We long for our husbands to not dominate us and be abusive in their leadership. That's definitely not scriptural. But we do want a husband who is going to take the lead, that is going to take the responsibility, that is going to guide the family, that is going to make the tough decisions. And that's not without counsel from the wife, but ultimately it is his responsibility to make the hard calls. And women thrive under those conditions, because that's how God has designed us. He's designed us in the original plan before sin entered. He designed us to be in submission to our husbands. Now, again, that doesn't mean we're doormats and we have no voice, but to be in submission to him.
Well, I was thinking as you were talking, Debbie, about a famous quote. I say it's a famous quote. It's a quote by a famous person. I read this in a Ray Stedman book years and years and years ago. I've used it in sermons, but it's a quote by Judy Garland.
Yes.
Judy Garland, who had many failed marriages, and she was giving advice to men. And she said, men, above all else, do not surrender your leadership. We don't want that as women. We want you to lead. But now here's the paradox. We will fight you for the reins, but we don't want to win that battle. We want you to lead us, because if you don't, then that's just going to make us scared. That's going to create all kinds of problems in us. If you let us take control, we're in trouble. And so she didn't say it quite like that. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of it. And I thought, man, that's from somebody who had, I think, three or four failed marriages. You know, unhappy person. If you ever watch the show Judy, we watched that one day with Renee Zellweger.
Incredibly sad.
Yeah, it was just awful, the life she led. She was famous and all, but it's like, who wants that? But anyway, I thought that was very insightful, because she realized that God didn't make a woman to lead. He made Adam to lead. He made the man to lead. He made the woman to be the helper. And some women get really upset with that. That's like a second-class citizen, you know, position. But it's not.
Definitely not.
The Holy Spirit is called the helper. And, you know, I rely on you greatly to help me. Even just to get dressed in the morning.
Yes.
Does this match?
You just really cannot figure out if things match or not. But, you know, there's an interesting definition of the word helper, which is my very favorite definition of the word, and it's this: to bring to someone something they're incapable of bringing to themselves. And as a wife, that is our role. Our role is to bring to our spouse, to our husband, those things that he's incapable of bringing to himself. Because as women, God has put within us a level of discernment normally that is different from a man's.
Right.
We can sense things. We may not be often able to verbalize exactly why we are feeling the things that we're feeling, but God has given us that gift that especially kicks in when it comes to parenting and those kind of things, and just discerning other people's motives and intentions. And I can remember early in our marriage, I would tell you something like that, and you would just be like, yeah, uh-huh, right, Debbie. And you would want me to put it into just real intense, exacting vocabulary, and I couldn't do that.
Yeah, well, I want you to logically explain why this person is not good for us to get close to or whatever.
Right.
And you couldn't do it. You just had this sense inside, let's keep our distance with these people. And then I would barrel ahead and find out after a month or so, hey, these people, there's something not right.
Right. And that transfers over into other situations as well. So it's not just relationships with other people, but maybe just decisions to be made within the home. It's like, there's just something about this I don't feel good about. I don't know exactly what it is. I just don't have a peace about us making this decision. And again, it took me years to figure this out, but I would tell you those things. And then ultimately, you are the one that has to make the decision. And so I learned over the course of the years, it's better for me to stay under your umbrella of protection than to go out from underneath it and try and undermine a decision that you've made.
Right. Well, a wife, she fulfills her role as the helper by providing encouragement, providing counsel, and being patient with her husband. Not taking the wheel, so to speak. If you think about it, you're in a car, the husband's given the responsibility to drive. He's the designated driver, and the wife is the designated helper. But don't grab the wheel, because that's not what God wants you to do. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, joined along by my wife, Debbie. And we're talking about marriage. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it, and the role of the Holy Spirit in a marriage. So we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Judy Goodell and her husband set up a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation.
What we love about it is that it represents stewardship principles that we feel strongly about. So we got very, very excited about this opportunity.
With a charitable gift annuity through the AFA Foundation, an AFA supporter can guarantee a permanent monthly income, as well as supporting the American Family Association for years to come.
We do feel convicted about really praying about all that God has really blessed us with. And so many people we know just want to leave it all to their kids. And we know the danger of that. And so we just are really just trying to pray through it. And God gave us great confirmation as we prayed that this would be a good use of the Lord's money.
Find out if a charitable gift annuity is right for you at 800-326-4543, extension 345, or email foundation@afa.net.
Whatever you're going through, don't take it as the evidence that God doesn't love you, but embrace it as the realization that you are one of His children and He loves you. And then take hope and knowledge in this truth. He is with you.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, God Loves You. He always has. He always will. Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
J. Hudson Taylor gave his life as a 19th century missionary from England to China. As an eminently faithful Christian, it is no surprise that Hudson Taylor wrote these words about faithfulness. A little thing is a little thing, he said, but faithfulness in a little thing is a big thing. You and I are faced with many little things every day, and we have the choice to accomplish them with faithfulness or not. I'm reminded of the verse in the New Testament that says, whatever we do, we are to do it with all our heart, as if we were doing it for Christ Himself. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's examples of faithfulness on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com and get your roadmap for life. Route 66. Start your journey home today.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about marriage and family and the home and the role of the Holy Spirit in your marriage and family life. Psalm 127:1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. You can't do it, God says, without me. Now, does that mean that you're going to always have a terrible marriage without the Lord, that you're just going to be divorced time and time and time again? No. But you're not going to have a life filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, because all those things come from the Lord. They come from His Spirit, and you're just going to be doing it on your own, and your home and your marriage are never going to be what God wants them to be. So Ephesians 5 is the classic passage that deals with marriage and the marriage relationship, and before it talks about the marriage and the marriage relationship, it says this, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, that's a waste, that's ruinous living, but be filled with the Spirit. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then it goes on and says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church. So the book, very famous book by Emerson Eggerichs, is Love and Respect. a husband's job before the Lord, on his job description as a husband, love your wife, nourish her, cherish her, treasure her, love her as your own body, and love her as Christ loved the church. A tall, tall order. And on a wife's job description before the Lord, wives, respect your husband. Let a wife see to it that she respect her husband. So love and respect. How are we going to do that, Debbie, without the presence and power of the Holy Spirit?
We just absolutely cannot, because we're too selfish. Mm-hmm. We're too selfish to do it, because we get caught in, okay, I'll respect him if he acts respectable. Okay, I'll love her if she's lovable. And it's extremely conditional. And praise the Lord, his love for us is not that way. But in our selfishness, our love is most assuredly conditional in and of ourselves. And what's interesting is, as we were talking about in the last segment, that, you know, after the curse, a woman's just weakness is that she desires to control. And I would venture to say for most men, when their wife is controlling, she is not very lovable in their eyes. Mm-hmm. And the opposite of that is true, too. When a man is just being completely passive, he is not respectable in his wife's eyes. And so that's where the challenge comes in. It's like, okay, my husband may not be acting respectable right now, but I am to respect him unconditionally. So how do I do that? Okay, my wife is not acting very lovable right now, but I'm commanded to love her. So how do I do that? The answer is you can't do that in your flesh. That's why the Holy Spirit has got to be there to empower you to do that, to put your selfishness aside and to obey the command that God has given you, husband, to love your wife, wife, to see to it that you respect your husband.
Well, and you know, we told our kids, and we repeat this often, when you're looking for a mate, you know, you're college age or out of college and you want to be married and that's a desire of your heart, you got to find somebody that loves the Lord, not somebody that says, oh yeah, I believe in God, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you know, it's just mm-hmm. so nonchalant.
Willy-nilly.
But it's somebody who really is seeking the Lord. Are you really seeking him? And you, Jeremiah 29:13, and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Unless the Lord is the passion of that person's heart and life, you are rolling the dice on the second most important decision in life, in marriage. That the first most important decision is trusting Christ as Savior and Lord. And then the second is, who am I going to spend life with? And I don't want to spend life with someone who doesn't love Jesus with a passionate love. Chris Schroeder and I have talked about, and you don't want to spend life with somebody who's not real compatible with you. And so those things are critical also, but you got to find someone who loves the Lord, who is enough different from you that you're not just going to clash. You have to have similar interests and things, because if you don't have similar interests, it's going to be really difficult. So compatibility is important, but the most important thing is, does that person really walk with God, and are they going to have the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to make this marriage work?
Yeah, I've told people before, the person you're looking for needs to love God more than they love you, because if they love God the most, they will be yielded to the Holy Spirit and be able to love you unconditionally through his power. Because in and of our flesh, we are simply not able to do that. And I think the question really comes in to those that are currently married, and let's just say their home isn't in good shape. It's like, okay, what are some things that I can do to help this situation change, and so that I can be obedient to what God has called me to do? Unfortunately, we cannot, ladies, we cannot fix our husbands, and husbands, you cannot fix us. We can only work on ourselves. And so it would be great if I could fix you, but I'm not able to do that. And so often our focus is incorrect, because as a wife, we're looking, okay, what are some ways that I can get my husband in line, that I can correct him? How can I fix this? And the question is not, how can I fix him? It's, how can I fix me? Mm-hmm. What do I need to be doing differently? How do I need to be yielded to the Holy Spirit more? How do I need to allow the Holy Spirit to live, to love, to respect, to do all those things through me?
Yeah, that's important. I was thinking as you were talking about a statement a church member told me once, and this is really true, and it was something his dad told him when he got married. He said, here's the scenario. He said, most women get married thinking, well, I'll change him in this area, this area, this area. And most men get married thinking, I hope she never changes. Because a woman, when you're dating her and courting her, you're doing, as a guy, you're doing all the things that really, you know, hit on all eight cylinders for her. You are courting her. You are sending her notes. You're sending her flowers. You're talking to her for long periods of time. You're dating her. You're doing all those things that build romance in the relationship. And so she loves that, and a woman is a responder, so she responds with tremendous respect. And as any couple knows, as you start falling in love, the physical is a temptation that's out there. And so God wants us to remain pure, as we've talked in this program, I think just last week. Location, location, location. Debbie used to always tell our girls, geography. Don't go to a place where you're going to be alone at night and things can happen. So you got to watch that. But a guy goes into marriage thinking, man, I don't want her ever to change because she's
so into me.
She is so into me and she is so loving and she, you know, all these wonderful things. Well, what happens when they get married? He quits doing the romance. He stops courting her. He's already got her bagged and on the mantle, you know, as his trophy wife, so to speak. And he stops doing the things that he did before. And then she doesn't like that. And so it's if he's not giving her love and filling up her love tank, her natural response is to come back with a little disrespect.
Right. And then it just creates this horrible downward spiral. And, you know, I think we probably have people listening today that are in that downward spiral. So the question is, okay, how do we break that spiral? What do we do? What are some practical things that we can do to break that spiral? And I know we have been in that position before.
Yes.
Multiple times in the course of these 36 years that we've been married. And we have had to just have a sit down talk and say, okay, regardless of how I may be feeling towards you right now, we're going to do a reset and we're going to start over. And regardless of how I'm feeling, I'm going to respect you and I'm going to engage with you. Regardless, Jeff, of how you're feeling, how I'm acting, you're going to love me, you're going to cherish me, and just kind of refocus our attention on doing things God's way. Because it's just so easy as we get caught up in life, as we get busy, as we get absorbed in our jobs and different activities and things that are pulling on us in terms of responsibilities, it's very easy to put our marriage relationship more towards the bottom of the list of those things. Mm-hmm. And so to just come back to a point where you just really reset it and start over in terms of really making sure your priorities are correct. And I think that can happen whether you are equally yoked or unequally yoked. Now, it's much harder if you're unequally yoked in your marriage, if you're married to an unbeliever, but you can still do your part and trust the Lord to act in the life of your unbelieving spouse.
Yeah, and for those who are unequally yoked, you know, the scripture speaks directly to a woman. If any of you has a husband who is disobedient to the word, he can be won without a word as he observes your chaste and respectful behavior. That's 1 Peter chapter 3. And so a wife can make a difference if you, as you, Christian wife, trust the Lord and you say, Lord, respect through me my husband who is not really worthy of respect. You know, he's living a disrespectful life, but I'm commanded to respect him, so respect him through me. And as she does that, not preaching at him, not leaving tracks everywhere around the house and that kind of thing, that doesn't work. Not nagging him into going to church or anything, that doesn't work. You just do your job as a wife to help him and to respect him. Let a wife see to it, Ephesians 5:33, that she respect her husband. And if it's reversed, if it's a Christian husband with a non-Christian wife, your job is to love her. And you say, Lord, but I don't love her. But the one who lives inside of you does. Jesus loves her, and he lives inside of every Christian through the Holy Spirit. And so it's Holy Spirit, love through me, love her through me. Help me to nourish her, help me to cherish her. And if you will do that, you open the door for God to do something great in that unbelieving spouse's life. But so often people, they just throw in the towel. They're like, ah, you know, this isn't working. And for others, they do it, and they do it with a whole heart. Sometimes they don't have the stamina to keep it going. And listen, second greatest decision you ever make in your life is who you're going to spend your life with. And marriage is not a throwaway thing. It's for a lifetime. Until death do we part. So Christians need to be very, very prayerful and wise and discerning when it comes to saying I do to this person for the rest of his life or her life.
Well, and once you are in that marriage relationship, and unless it has just truly gotten extremely toxic and both parties aren't wanting to make it work, you can trust the Lord with that, because the Lord desires your marriage to not just survive, but he wants it to thrive. And so it goes back to being obedient to him, trusting him with the outcome, and living, first of all, for him, in obedience to him. And then all these other things will come into alignment over the course of time. But it does take a lot of patience. It takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of mercy. And it can be tiring, but this is not a sprint. Marriage is a marathon, right? Because our life on this earth is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so we have to really focus on that.
Well, and to know, too, that divorce is always painful. It's not always sinful. If your spouse is a serial adulterer or an adulteress, you can't have a marriage with somebody like that. Mm-hmm. If they fall and they're repentant and really wanting to work on the marriage, then you can work on that. But if they're just like, well, this is the way I am, I'm just going to do this, and, you know, you can just smile and take it. You can't have a marriage with someone like that. And so I remember a particular friend who ended up getting divorced, a godly guy, and he just said to me one day, he said, Jeff, you know, it takes two to make a marriage work.
Right.
I can't do this on my own. And she didn't want to do anything to make it work, and so it failed. And I realize that, and I know we're talking to some people who are in very bad marriages, and they're really hurting, and they're very disillusioned. And just know that God knows where you are. He cares about you. And so look to him. Seek him with all your heart. He will guide you. He'll give you wisdom and grace as you trust him, as you call out to him. Well, we're coming up on a break. And right after the break, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. As we're talking about the subject of marriage and family, hey, unless the Lord builds the house, Psalm 127:1, they labor in vain who build it. And so you and I and all of us, we need the Lord to have a home that is rich and fulfilling and satisfying. And listen, home life is so critical. You can be the president of a billion-dollar corporation, and if your home life stinks, you don't get much satisfaction from being the president of the billion-dollar corporation. But you can be somebody who has a relatively low rung on the totem pole job, and if you have a great marriage, your life is wonderful, because marriage and family are so special and so wonderful. So that number to call if you have a question about marriage, or you have a comment about marriage, or how God maybe restored your marriage as you trusted the Lord, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm joined with my wife, Debbie. And, you know, our marriage is not It's not always the greatest thing on planet Earth, but we are in it for the long haul, and God has blessed us, and so we give him all the praise. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Core, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
In this new world, on this new day, we rejoice that Roe v. Wade has been overturned. Preborn has been preparing for this moment for the past 16 years by positioning their clinics in the top six abortion states where 50% of abortions occur. Sadly, five of these six states will continue to abort babies at an even greater level. And since the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of abortions, babies are even more at risk. Preborn pregnancy clinics are completely dependent on you as they offer life-saving ultrasounds and the life-saving gospel to moms and babies in crisis.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be three. I don't know where my life would be without her.
To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com or dial #250 and say the keyword baby.
Here are Tim and Riley Wildman for the AFA Foundation.
Riley, what is your title?
The director of AFA Foundation.
One of the best ways you can have income for the rest of your life and know that you will be supporting the ministry of American Family Association is to...
to give a gift to American Family Association and American Family Radio.
Do you also deal with people who want to leave AFA in their wills?
Yes, sir. That's exactly why they call. And that's why we also have another option besides a charitable gift annuity. People sometimes also call and do an outright gift or also leave us in their will.
Now, when anyone calls in and asks to talk to you ladies, will all of them talk in a Southern accent like you do?
Yes, they will.
Call Riley Wildman at the AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about marriage and the role of the Holy Spirit in your marriage. Hey, if you think about your home life, your marriage and family, is it terrible? Is it tolerable? Or is it terrific? God wants it to be terrific. He wants to bless your home. And before the Lord ever created government or schools or even the church, he established the home in Genesis chapter 2. And so God is very, very, very interested in the home. In America today, we're attacking what God has designed and defined. But if we do life God's way, that's when the blessings come. And Debbie, as we talked about starting out a brand new year, it's a great time, early part of January, to really evaluate where are we now, where do we want to be, and how are we going to get there?
Right, and to just refocus on that, to maybe recommit to those things. And I think it's really important to set reasonable goals and reasonable expectations. You know, you're not normally going to have a 180 turnaround in a situation with just the snap of a finger. It normally takes some time. But I thought about that even even for myself, for my own personal goals this year, it's like I'm just setting goals a month at a time. Let's just make some real attainable, check that box after a month and make sure we're staying on course. Don't necessarily do something that can very easily fall through the cracks. And so I think as the Lord leads you to make some adjustments, just make one or two adjustments at a time so that it's a doable situation for you.
Well, here are some goals you can set. You know, for a family, it's like, hey, we're going to have dinner together with no phones, just us talking, you know, three times a week, two times a week. I mean, at least two times a week, we're going to sit down as a family and we're going to talk, and phones aren't allowed. I think it's good for families to have a no phone zone. You know, it's good for couples. Maybe you're like us and you're empty nesters. And you say, hey, we're gonna talk, or we're gonna read, or we're going to watch a show together, but no phones. So we're not trying to multitask. We're just all in to this thing that we're doing together. You know, we started doing that, the devotional for couples. We were doing it for Advent, and just reading that every night together, and that creates a conversation, and then praying together. There's just no way to evaluate the benefit of really praying together. It doesn't have to be long. It just has to be consistent. And you pray, then I pray, and then we close it out. You know, maybe it's just for a few minutes, but it's a consistent thing that we do together. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, and we have Trudy on the line from Texas. Trudy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I was taking the radio off. So I have a question. I have a son and a daughter-in-law, and they are struggling. And I would like any extra advice. They're not involved in church. He was raised through church. I don't think she had a consistency. I know he should know better. I think he's the wrong person in the relationship. He's not taking care of things like in the eyes that I feel like he should. And he just like calls and tells us like, I'm going to file for divorce. I've had it. I don't trust him. I don't. And I'm just like, I just feel like a wave just hit me in the face. And I don't know what to help or say to do. I do believe he's in the wrong, some of the choices he's making and stuff. And we did try to reach out, talk to him yesterday. It just didn't work out. We are supposed to talk a little bit later. And, like, I mean, there's grandkids, and it's like, do you even understand what's happening? And anyway, we haven't had that chance to really have a one-on-one with him. And I was just wondering what advice you might provide or to meet us, for him, for them, for, yeah, you know, for whatever. And
okay. Yeah, very good.
I do believe she deserves to be respected, and he's definitely not doing that.
Yeah.
Well, Trudy, there's nothing worse than seeing your kids hurting. It's just devastating, and it's never far from your mind. It's never far from your heart. And I remember reading one time, and I don't remember who I read this from, but life with your kids was so much easier when you could dress them. You know, when they're so young, you think those times are hard, but they're just hard physically. They're not necessarily hard emotionally. And I think in terms of our kids, we do have to be very, very careful with our adult children, because if we try to consult them without being called in for a consultation, it can so often backfire on us. And so we do have to be really careful with that. And I think it's important that when we are given those opportunities, that our posture, that the tone of our voice, that our facial expressions, just everything needs to be one of love and understanding and mercy and grace when we do talk with them. And we need to be led by the Spirit to do that. But once we have said something one time, unless they ask us about that again, we kind of need to just let that sit. And we just go back again and again to prayer, prayer, prayer. Because as much as we might want to, we cannot change them. We cannot alter the decisions that they're going to make. That's the Holy Spirit's job to do that. Jeff, what do you have to say about it?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation, Trudy, for sure. And, you know, you can see things as a parent that they're not seeing, and you're like, I want to point this out. But as Debbie said, unless they're open to it, they'll shut you down, and they'll be like, you know, you're meddling, this is your way, you know, crossing a boundary and all. So you don't want to do that. So I would just pray that God would soften their hearts so that they would ask. And once they ask, then they're calling the consultant. Hey, what do you think? What do you see? And then you can share. And even at that, you have to be sensitive. You have to be very careful. So you're dealing with somebody's, you know, it's kind of like a doctor dealing with a broken bone. Yeah, I don't want to just grab onto this thing because that person is going to, you know, they're going to scream. So I got to be very gentle as we deal with this situation. But yeah, I would just echo what Debbie said, Trudy, just prayer. And just that their hearts would be softened so that they would hear from the Lord, that they would want to hear from the Lord, and that they would look to Him to bring healing and to get restoration.
And I think one thing to remember as well, Trudy, and I believe me, struggle with this, but so often when our kids are talking to us, they're just venting. So they're telling us what they're feeling at the moment. That doesn't mean that's what they're going to do. It just means that they're venting to us because we're a safe place for them. And so to just let them vent and not necessarily maybe have any comment about it, but just to let them vent and then take those issues to the Lord in prayer and ask Him through His Spirit to speak truth into their hearts.
Amen. So I hope that's helpful, Trudy. Thank you for calling in and just keep praying. So I appreciate you calling in today. We have Steve from Indiana on the line. Steve, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yes, one of the issues that's so important when the woman loses the estrogen and the male loses testosterone, there are great changes that take place in the human being that people are not aware of. There's no little sign that pops on and says, so if you two will speak to this, this is something, very close down the street where this has destroyed a marriage. So I'd like to have you two, you are so good at this, I'd like to have you two discuss this.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. I appreciate the question. Okay, Debbie?
Well, those absolutely are issues that take place. And it's... unless the Lord takes us in our youth, every man is going to experience a lessening and a loss of testosterone. Every woman is going to experience a loss of estrogen. And just like you said, as a result of that, things change. Things change within our own bodies. They change within our minds and our emotions. Our hormones play such a vital role in our bodies and how our bodies function. And so we all have to go through periods of transition in that. And I think in this culture that is so based on youth, we have to be really careful, particularly as believers, that we accept what God is doing in us and in our bodies, that we don't try to recapture something, a feeling or whatever when we were in our 20s, but we age with grace and with dignity, and that we talk through those things with our spouse as our sex drives change, as our energy levels change, as just our needs and our desires and our wants, all of those things kind of change as we start to get older. And instead of seeing those as horrible, awful things, we embrace those things and we talk those through with each other because they are going to happen. That is just the reality.
Well, I think about our friend Steve, whose wife went through menopause and she didn't want to go to the doctor. So
right.
Steve's a pastor and Steve was like, hey, I don't know how much longer I'm living with a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he said, now this was tongue in cheek, but he said, I told her, you go to the doctor or I'm going to the lawyer. Now he would never do that.
Right.
But the point was, you need to get some chemical balance going on here, because you're totally out of balance, and it's impossible to live with you when you're up and down and all over the place. And so I think that's another important thing, is that especially for a woman and for a guy, you know, if you have no testosterone, you need to get checked out, and you need to get whatever you need to get to help you with that, so that you know, just don't lose all your drive and all your
energy and, just everything, right?
So very real issue for sure, Steve. So thank you for calling in with that. Well, we have James from Texas on the line. James, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm going to make it. I'm in one of those marriages where I gave my wife's an accountant, so I put her in charge of all the money in that's one issue. She went into menopause the day we got married. We got married later in life. And I'm getting to a point where I can't handle it anymore. I pray. I put her in the Lord's hands. I'm not perfect by any means. But even at New Year's Eve, I said, I'm leaving this party early. I said, I'd like for you to come pray with me. And we'll pray in the new year. And she goes, no, I want to drink. And I said, well, I said, you drink every night. I said, you don't have to drink tonight. And she's just been angry and bitter towards me. And I don't know what to do. It's a bad situation as far as I'm concerned. I could be facing a prison sentence. And I'm trying to get these houses ready that we own, so that she is supported, and she doesn't see that me working on those is showing her love, and it is, and she fights me on every step of the process. Mm-hmm. And then I found out that there's money that I didn't know we had that she's been using to work on these houses. She claims it's her inheritance and all this other stuff, but it's my back that worked to keep all the bills paid and kept an abundance in the house for us to afford what we have. And I'm just at wit's end on it. I don't know what to do. She won't take medication. She's got diabetes, and she won't take diabetes. She's got osteoporosis. She won't take the medicine. She's in menopause still. She gets hot flashes. Her moods change every other day, sometimes by the hour. It's like she's bipolar. And I feel like I failed as a being responsible by trusting her with all that. And I just don't want to do it. I love my wife. I'll do anything for her. Yeah. But maybe I'm not showing it correctly. Her love language is what acts of service. My God, I'm working myself to the end of the bone. I'm working 11, 12 hours a day on property that we own and not bringing in an income. And I know that makes her insecure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then I find out that she's got $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 stashed back that she's been using. I never knew about it.
James, let me do this, because we're almost at the end of the broadcast. Let the call screener get your information, and she can send it to me, and I'll have one of my counselors call you and see what we can do to help. We can't do that in a minute, so we'd like to be able to help you. God does want to intervene. You know, the Lord is the God who has all wisdom, all knowledge. It's wrapped up in Him. He will show us what to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And you just need the Lord to guide you here. So we want to help you with that. So when we don't hang up, let the call screener get your info. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I want to thank my wife for being on with me today as we talked about the role of the Holy Spirit in marriage. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the key to everything in the Christian life. So trust Him. Yield to Him. Let Him control you. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and He will use you. I'll be with you again tomorrow as we talk to Phil Cook. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.